A leader is one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. John Maxwell. What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to the podcast that helps you be the leader. I'm Jeremiah Sullivan. I'm your host. And this isn't a solo podcast. I'm joined by the trusted sidekick and the man, the myth, the legend, Justin Phillips. What's up, man?
Yo, I'm back in the saddle this week.
I know, I looked like I caught you off guard with that fast and furious introduction.
You caught me, you like double caught me off guard because you just like, you sped through everything there. It was weird, but it's okay. I'm on my toes now.
Yeah, you know, I got to mix it up, man, variety, you know, because if I do the same thing every time, then I'll end up losing you and losing everyone, so.
And it's funny because I'll just edit this to sound the same as the rest of them so people that are listening right now won't know what we're talking about.
All right. Well, anyway, how are you doing? Guys, gals, ladies and gentlemen, if you're new to this podcast, hey, we talk about two things. We talk about leadership and we talk about personal performance, man. And if you don't know what personal performance is, okay, what I'm referring to is your routines, your rituals, your energy, your effectiveness, your productivity, your mindset, your mental toughness, your grit. Okay, it's all that stuff. It's also your fitness. Okay, so we talk about all that in terms of performance. You know, the goal here is to bring more good in the world by helping others achieve their best. And Justin and I are going to sit back. We're going to talk about some great stuff today. And if you guys enjoy it, you know, make sure you help us out and share it with a friend. Okay, that's what we ask. But Justin, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic. We've got the holidays coming up pretty soon, which I'm being reminded of all of a sudden. And other than that, I'm just chugging along with my head, my nose literally to the grindstone for the past couple of weeks. And outside of that, I don't really know what's going on in the world around me. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, you're kind of in that tunnel vision state. Hey, this is going to be a special episode today because, you know, like you just mentioned, Justin, the holidays are among us, okay? We're coming in at the end of the 2020, and there's a lot of leaders or a lot of people right now that are going to be around, maybe around family in person, maybe just around them virtually. But today's topic is going to be very, very special because we're going to create a vision for how the remainder of this year should look in terms of holidays. I'm going to unlock, you know, some keys to win the holidays. We'll get into it here in a second. But guys and gals, you're going to want to listen. You're going to want to take notes because right now you probably don't have a clear vision about what success looks like throughout the rest of the year in terms of holidays. You're probably, maybe like Justin just described, so tunnel visioned and focused into your career that you're losing sight of the family and the opportunities that are around you. And so let's dial that in and make sure that we're focused for the remainder of 2020. And but before we do, let's catch up a little bit. Tell me a little bit about what's going on in your world.
Listen, Jeremiah, there's a lot of things going on in my world. It breaks down into like 2.5 categories. There's school.
Uh-huh.
There's work.
Okay.
There's Conquer Academy. And then there's work for school. And what I mean by that is like extracurricular stuff, right? Like I'm trying to just really, we took over this club. Me and one of my friends were running this club that's like dead at our school. And we're trying to kick that in the rear end and get it up and running again. The Business and Leadership Development Club, essentially. So very relevant to what we're talking about on here. But I've been doing a lot of stuff for that too.
Do you feel spread thin right now? Do you feel like you're in a hurry, in a rush, or do you feel focused? Do you feel like everything's going well?
I feel focused and like everything's going well. I wouldn't say I feel spread too thin. I feel like I'm spread just thin enough. Like I'm in a very Goldilocks state with that right now. But at the same time, what my fear starts to be is that the quality of my work in all of those areas kind of starts to dip a little bit as I'm spending so much time just trying to like push all my buttons and make sure everything in the cockpit is taken care of.
I like the visual that I just got of you flying around, pressing buttons in the cockpit and navigating your way from one point to the next. You know, on that, you know, you said like you're focused on your 2.5 priorities or, you know, whatnot, yes. Your three different areas of life. I think a lot of people are too. And I think that, you know, when I get like that and things feel right, actually that's a trigger for me to start looking around at what could be going wrong. Cause when everything's going right, it's like, shit, I'm not anticipating. I'm not putting out a fire. There's something I'm missing.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of people could relate to that. And for yourself, you know, the thing that I pick up on is, you know, and I asked you about this at the beginning is what you were doing for the holidays. You kind of drew a blank. you're like, well, I don't really know. I don't really have a plan. Yeah. And so that's kind of a gap right now for yourself. And there's probably somebody listening that has a gap for themselves. So guys, if things are going well for you, take a second, look around and be like, what's the gap that I'm missing? What am I not paying attention to right now? Because like you said, you can do anything. You just can't do everything, right? So where are you going to put your focus moving forward? So with that being said, you know, talk to me a little bit about the whack-a-mole that you're playing. I mean, you said you're switched on, you're pressing buttons and stuff. But talk to me a little bit about the whack-a-mole you're playing throughout the rest of this year, and you know how you're managing your time, and what are some of your concerns right now as we close out 2020?
Yeah, so the whack-a-mole I'm playing is whack-a-mole, right? It's all that stuff I just mentioned. It is literally trying to whack-a-mole, trying to see what is actually going to be the most beneficial thing to me, I think is a big part of it. Like, okay, what's actually bringing in money to me? Like, because that's kind of important right now. I do have bills to pay, so it's like, this for that, this for that. One of the things that I've been doing a lot is I've been writing a lot and just picking up all sorts of writing gigs, right? And some, it's been a lot of blog articles, and some are paying a little bit more than others. So there's this game of like, okay, how do I get the most bang for my buck, basically, or how do I get the most money for my time? So just going through all these trade-offs in my head, trying to remember why I'm doing certain things when I try to prioritize. It's like, why am I doing this? Why am I leading this club? Or how important is it for me to get an A on this exam versus getting a B on this exam and focusing on work a little bit more?
Dude, sorry to interrupt. That's a huge, huge point to make, because what ends up happening when somebody's going through those challenges of trying to prioritize what's important to them, they often lose sight of the vision. And if you really want to be successful and you really want to stick to your plan and see it through and get into the top 1% of whatever you're going to do, you gotta be essentially long-term greedy, right? And a lot of times when we have these different projects going on that are in front of us, whether it's additional income opportunities or whatever it is, they can distract us from the long-term objective. And so, you know, as you're going through this situation with school and work and everything, is, you know, I just want to remind you, and just like the listeners now, dude, what's your long-term vision? And are you looking for instant gratification, or are you looking for delayed gratification? So if you're having trouble figuring out which direction to go, it's always delayed gratification is always the answer. Do you feel like you're kind of in line with that? Like, you are looking at the long term of things? You feel like you're looking at short term reward right now because of everything that's presented to you?
I feel like I'm definitely trying to look for long term gain. And I think school actually provides a really good example of this, because students get so worried about what is right in front of them in terms of their exams, their homework grades, this, that, and the other. People are calling me up all the time. They're like, oh my gosh, I got a 50 on that last homework assignment. It's just like the teacher punched it into the learning management system wrong, and that doesn't mean anything anyway. I don't know, it's usually stupid stuff. But then when it comes around to, like, you know, I'll do the same thing with kids. I'll be like, well, why do you need such a great grade in this class? Like, is failing this exam really going to ruin your whole career? They're like, no. And I'm like, okay, like, why are you worried about it? Are you worried about it for a reason, et cetera? And I've noticed it with myself too throughout the time of school. Like, my grades have not dropped. I get good grades, but slightly less good than I used to, because my priorities have shifted more into other areas as I've gotten to my senior year of college.
That's good to know. And what's the key point? If I had to take away one point from that, what's the key point that you want to drive home?
Pick what your priority is. I mean, pick the destination that you want to get to before you plan the trip to get there.
Yeah.
You know, I always use the analogy of taking a road trip, is that if I just leave my house right now and decide I'm going to go on a road trip, but I have no idea what my destination actually is, how the hell am I going to know how to get there? Right. So it's a lot of, like, with the school analogy that I always use, too many people go for a degree and, like, the degree is their end goal rather than a career that they actually want, then they don't know what they're going to do at the back end of that. So know what you're going to do at the back end.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's funny how themes kind of happen on a weekly basis, because I had a client that reached out and asked a similar question about his goals and priorities. He said, you know, I've been going at this one goal for a really long time, and now I have another opportunity that popped up, and I'm wondering, should I continue this business that I'm growing, or know that I want to go a different direction later on? He's like, what do I do? And I told him, I said, you know, first thing is that it's okay to have more opportunities. And as you continue to go along, you're going to have to get really, really good at turning down opportunities. In fact, I've turned down probably, like, opportunities that, literally looking at them, it kind of makes me nauseous that I missed out a little bit, right? But I was also able to stay very, very focused on the path that was in front of me. Specifically, like when I was going into soft and special operations to become a ranger, there was tons of opportunities to switch directions when it looked like all hope was gone and there the end destination, I was never going to get there. So you gotta stay focused on the long term. You gotta stay focused on that primary plan. But if you do have these other opportunities that pop up, it's important that a person just prioritizes them differently. Okay, so you keep the one thing, the most important thing. But then at the end of your day, you can get some bonus points and work towards this other thing that you want to do and make it work. But you can't lose sight of the most important priority, right? And everything, it can't be a priority. So you gotta pick. You gotta decide what it's gonna be. So really good points there on kind of dealing with, you know, distractions and staying focused and shuffling around your priorities. And I think right now, the people's priorities are kind of jacked up because we're constantly consumed with everything that's going on with COVID and we're constantly consumed with the politics that are going on. We've talked about this a lot and I don't want to belabor that point that those things can be a distraction and consume you. But I also think it's important to kind of acknowledge that COVID is spiking right now and the holidays are ahead. And so it really, you can't really talk about much else right now. It's going to be the two things that are on everybody's mind. Mm-hmm. And I mean, are you seeing that out in PA? You're seeing the spikes go on right now. And what's kind of happening out there in your world? And I'll talk to you about what's happening in ours.
It's absolutely happening over here in the Pennsylvania. And I don't know a lot about the details of that. I learn something new every day because I don't pay attention to it on my own. It's not until I go to a class and my friends talk to me about it, or I go to my parents' house and they talk to me about it. They're like, oh, we're all locked down again. I'm like, are we? but yeah, it's definitely happening over here. And I think it's interesting because it's something that we've been anticipating since March, right? People have been talking about and thinking about, like, what is this going to look like when the holidays come around? And now the holidays are coming around and things are starting to just, you know, kind of inflate again. And I think we're setting ourselves up for whatever we're going to get. You know, yeah. I feel like this really can go any direction at this point. And it's almost like a mass scale law of attraction type of thing that's going to determine how the holidays actually go. Because the more that people think about COVID being an issue, and think about politics being an issue, the more those two things are going to be an issue.
True. And I think what needs to happen right now is, you know, our community specifically needs the vision for how that the remainder of this year should play out. Because there are going to be people all around us that are freaked out, and there are going to be certain states, certain counties, and certain areas that are affected differently than others. You know, I think it was California, what they say, no more than 10 people. At your Thanksgiving, like they have some restriction on the number of people that can get together.
Ours is six.
Is it six? Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So it's, you have all these restrictions going on. And then you have the other side of things where you got, you know, the one audience, it's like COVID's fake. It's made up. It's a conspiracy theory. And then you got the other side that's like locked down, stay in a bubble. So you have these like fucking extremes that are going on.
And you have like the real people.
Yeah. Then you have the people in the middle. And that's what I find with human beings is that somewhere in between both extremes, like the truth is in the middle. And so I think what we really need to do, and as leaders, you know, somebody that's listening, it's your job to cast the vision for your team moving forward. And that doesn't mean project and influence them to be persuaded and lean towards your political views or how you feel about COVID, but it's to give them a vision for the future so that they can get through what could be a difficult time for them. Okay. And I'm reminded of something that we used to do in the military right now, which is called a safety brief. Okay. So Justin, in the military every Friday, typically, if it's not every Friday, then it's at least when you have a 3-day or 4-day weekend, the military would get you all together. And you know, the company commander, the platoon leader and the platoon sergeant, the first sergeant, they would get their guys there before a weekend, and they would remind them to be safe throughout the weekend. Okay. Especially if you just got back from a deployment. All right. If you've been gone for months at a time, maybe a whole year, and you get back and you got all this money in the bank and you're like in your, you're 21 years old. You're like me and you turn 21 while you're in Iraq. And then you get back and you're like, man, I got money in the bank account. I'm ready to rock and roll. I haven't seen a I've barely seen any women. I've barely seen anything other than the desert for the last, you know, month or a year and a half. I'm ready to do some shit, right? Well, guess what happens? You know, platoon sergeant comes in, platoon leader comes in. They're like, hey, you know, Private Sullivan, hey, man, I know you're excited about this weekend, okay? I know we just got back from this deployment, but I want you to be safe this weekend, okay? And this is what safety looks like. This is what being safe looks like. And it's funny because the safety briefs, typically what they cover, you know, it's typically the same type of things, okay? You got to stand there in formation, right? I'm a private. I'm thinking, money in the bank. I'm ready to go. It's Friday. Let's get out of here. And I'm standing in formation. I'm waiting for my platoon sergeant or my first sergeant, whoever it is, to come down. It's hot. I'm antsy. I'm complaining. And they're like, they come out, they get everybody together. Hey, gents, how's it going? Hey, we just want to give you a safety brief today. I want to remind you, this weekend, go out, have some fun, but listen, don't drink and drive. Don't do drugs. Okay, these are like common sense things, but the leaders have to say it. And they hate that they have to say it, but it's true. Because there's somebody in the formation that's thinking about, hey, man, I'm going to go strip club, whatever the hell, and go do these crazy things, right? So you want to stop that guy from making a bad decision. So he comes in, he says these things, right? And he's like, stay out of trouble. And sometimes they throw some humor in there. You know, one of the ones that I used to say to my guys was like, hey guys, don't cook bacon naked. This weekend, be safe. Do not cook bacon naked. It's a bad day. All right. Done it before.
that might be sliding into an answer. I was going to say, does the Army or the military have a more effective way of actually getting that message through to people of don't drink and drive, this, that, and the other? Because that's something that we were just so used to hearing, like the night before prom, this, that, and the other, and so on and so forth, that I think people are just kind of numb to it. It's like, you have that problem of the people that are going to do stupid shit are going to do stupid shit.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing is that I saw how Major Steele gave safety briefs, and I saw how Captain Carl did them. Okay. And it was pretty traditional for you just to recycle and say the same shit every Friday. Don't drink and drive. Don't do drugs, right? Maybe throw that occasional joke in there, like, don't beat your goldfish this weekend. No matter how how angry you get, do not beat your goldfish, right? Classic one. Okay. But I remember I was a subordinate underneath Major Steele one time, and he came out, and I remember he pulled me aside after the safety brief. Because one of the NCOs, the non-commissioned officers that had been talking, had been basically just hammering on all the things we shouldn't do. Okay, he was like, literally, don't drink and drive. All the nonsense stuff that you know you should not go do, right? Not break the law. And he pulled me aside, and he was like, "Hey Jay, I want to give you a quick little lesson." He said, "It was a good safety brief, the one we just did, but when it's your turn to go, I want you to make sure you talk about what we're going to do, and not what we're not going to do." And after that safety brief, he came in on the following one, and he started casting the vision for everybody in the organization. And I got to see what he was talking about. Instead of saying, don't drink and drive, he was saying, hey guys, go out this weekend. I want you to be professional. I want you to be responsible with your money. I want you to have a good time, have some fun. And he was basically shaping the picture. You know, hey guys, go out and have a couple of drinks, and I want you to drink responsibly. Different messaging than, hey guys, don't drink and drive. And when you start telling people, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, like you said, one, they check out the guy that's like going to go do it no matter what. Everybody else, just like, now you're planting ideas in their head for all the shit that they, you know, it's like you're introducing the idea. If I say, don't think about a pink elephant, what do? You think about a pink elephant. So Major Steele would come out and he would tell us exactly what we were going to do. Okay, we're going to be responsible. Get some rest if you need it. Get up, get a good workout in. And another thing that he used to do too is he would extend invites for us to go work out at his place on Saturday morning, which is a really creative way to reduce risk, right? He would say, hey guys, no pressure. This is totally voluntary. You don't have to come and show up, but I'm going to do a workout tomorrow morning at my place Saturday at 6 a.m. Any of you young officers want to be there, you're more than welcome. And then he'd kind of look at us and like, who's going to not be there? You know what I mean? Like, which one of you guys is not going to be there? And so as a young officer, the message that he was giving us was that, one, he was going to build a team, but he was also reducing risk for the weekend by making us get up early and be at his place Saturday. Coincidentally, I didn't put this together till after I left his team and the unit. He would do those meetups typically on payday weekend. Okay. He was like, I looked at it years later and I was like, why was he always having us hang out at his place Saturday morning on payday weekend? and it clicked one day and I was like, oh, he was just trying to keep us like, I'm like, that's ninja leadership right there, right?
Ninja leadership. I like that one. That's a phrase that we got to keep in the canon moving forward.
That's my coin term, by the way. So if anybody takes it, you know,
hashtag ninja leadership. That's going to be the next thing we get going on Instagram.
Yeah. Guys, if you listen, you know, when you listen to this and you want to share the episode, make sure you hashtag ninja leadership and tag.
This will also show us who's actually listening to these episodes, right? I was just going to say something about that. That's really interesting about too, when you give people like those voluntary things to show up to when you're talking about that, like how many people took whoever was doing that? How many people took up those offers when they were presented and actually showed up?
99% of us did because we were all, you know, infantry officers that wanted to do a really good job and we wanted to show up well for our boss. You know, we wanted to show that we were a team player. We also wanted to advance our career. There's a lot of selfish reasons, but there's also a lot of selfless reasons in that, like when you get a group of people going to do a thing, you tend to bring the guy that doesn't want to go and do it with you. Yeah. Right. It's like, he just is obligated to go and do it. And so you selflessly go and serve the team. I'd say a lot of people ended up doing it because of his influence. He was a fun. Now, if he was a shitty leader, people probably would have blown him off, but he was a great leader.
Yeah. Well, no, but I was saying that's interesting to me too, because I noticed a trend like that too, when you take that kind of expectation away from people and you don't tell them, like if he had said like, hey, you know, work out at my place tomorrow morning, like you got to be there, it would have either been less of a turnout or less wanting to be there people that were there. I noticed a shift of that in college this semester. Actually, we had like optional in-person classes on campus all the time, and you had absolutely no obligation to ever be on campus. And I almost feel like attendance in the in-person enrichments, whatever they were calling them, was almost better because people started to think that way. They started to think like, hey, I want to put a good mark on myself. Like, I want to look like I'm showing up. I want to be there for the teacher to feel like they're still doing their job for a reason, et cetera. So.
Yeah, no, it's like, again, ninja leadership is what it comes down to. And then the other thing that it does that he did was that he put himself in the right position to influence us. Okay, he influenced us by getting us together on the weekend, and then he put himself in position so that we did a workout together. He was present, and he could build the team outside of work hours. So, you know, this actually takes me into kind of some of the vision stuff that I want to touch on for a successful holiday season. To win during the holidays, which the first thing to win this holiday season is to be in the right place. Okay. It's to have put an emphasis on leader placement. Okay. Or leader presence. Leader presence. I don't know if you saw, I posted on Twitter and I also posted it on Instagram, but leader presence is being present where presence is needed. Okay. It's one of the most important aspects of being a leader and having a team is you got to know where to position yourself. And you got to know when to position yourself. Okay. For example, if we have a platoon size element, we're conducting an ambush and we're inside of a valley or maybe some type of terrain, elevated terrain, me as the platoon leader, I got to be in a position where I can see the entire battlefield. Okay. And so leader placement can be subjective, right? There's no wrong answer typically, unless you can't influence the objective at all in the mission. That is a wrong answer. But do you want to be at the support by fire? Do you want to be on the line? Do you want to be like all these different places? So, you know, if we want to have a successful holiday seasons, Thanksgiving, Christmas, whether it's with our family or with our teams at work, we have to put an emphasis on where we're going to position ourselves. Okay. Because guys right now, a lot like yourself, Justin, you're doing schoolwork, you're doing business work, you're doing all these different things, but there's a gap in your leadership, and it's probably with your family right now. It's like, shit, I don't have a plan to be present with my family. So, and by the way, you don't have to be there all the time. It's not like you got to spend, you know, the next 4 weeks, 5 weeks with your family for the holiday season. You got to pop in and pop out. That's appropriate leader presence, right? Does any of that hit home for you personally?
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, presence is less about being there all the time, like you said, and more about when you are there to be there, right? To be present in that exact moment. We see an obvious lack of that. in a lot of situations, there's going to be a lot of Thanksgiving dinners happening around the country with their, you know, 4 to 6 people that are allowed to be there, all scrolling through Facebook, trying to talk to their other family members that aren't with them or doing something like that, and just completely ignoring the people that they're sitting right next to. And that's a huge problem. And that's what not being present looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that everybody should use this podcast right now to kind of audit where they're showing up. You know, are you only showing up in the areas that are important to you, or are you showing up in areas that are important to others?
And now here's something else that people are going to struggle with, is feeling like that presence that they're trying to give isn't reciprocated when they're at with their family, whatever the case may be, because the people listening to this are going to take what we say. They're going to be like, okay, I'm not going to be on my phone, this, that, and the other. But what sucks even more is when you go to visit your family and you make this like conscious effort to be present and be there, and then they're the ones that are scrolling the whole time that they're there. They're paying attention to everything else. They're watching the news. They're doing this, that, or the other. So is there, I don't know, do you have any advice on that in general, on how to get the feeling reciprocated or deal with it not being reciprocated?
Yeah, first thing is never allow the outcome to dictate what you do on a behavioral level. Okay, detach yourself from the outcome. Always do the right thing because it's the right thing, is what my kind of what I'm saying there, right? So if people aren't going to reciprocate, it's okay. Because what ends up happening is sometimes people reciprocate later. All right, like you put the investment, you put deposits into them during the holidays, and then a year goes by, 5 years goes by, they go through a hard time, and you're consistently showing up in their life. And they look, they have a wake up moment, and they reach back and they're like, dude, thanks for always being there. You know, thanks for always investing into us, into me throughout this period, right? So some people will wake up later. Okay, that's the first thing. So detach yourself from the outcome, because if you don't, you're going to start developing resentment. You're going to be like, oh, I'm putting all this work out there and I'm not getting anything in return, blah, 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 blah. That's negative energy. You're going to create a negative story in your head, and you're actually, you know, your actions are going to be transparent. People are going to start seeing you as a guy that is more of a taker, and he's not an authentic giver. You want to be the authentic giver leader, the servant leader, versus I'm doing this to get something. Okay. This is the first thing. Second thing is that, show up with an agenda in your mind. Okay. Be intentional. This is what I'm going to try and accomplish as a team. One thing. All right. And influence the battle on the ground. Okay. So if everybody's watching, you got to be the person that steps up, essentially. Okay, nobody wants to step up. Everybody wants to go into their routines of things. You got to be the person that says, hey, guys, who wants to play Monopoly and fight over that versus politics? Okay. And everybody's going to laugh. And then you're going to. So that stage is a stage where you're going to have a leader challenge. Okay. You're going to try to influence this team, 4 to 6, 10 people. There's going to be some resistance there, but that's up to you as an individual to get the guys, everyone together to do some team building stuff. Now, there is going too far, right? You don't want to show up and like lay out every second of the Thanksgiving dinner. Like you're doing this, being super ultra controlling, but your job is to be intentional about what's the outcome you guys want to get as a team. Well, I'd like us to break away from the TV, maybe play a game of Monopoly and try not to slit each other's throats.
Yeah.
Oh man, fuck that game.
Yeah. It gives us a throwback too. I was just having flashbacks there to episode 1 of this podcast. You talk about being the one.
Yeah.
Right. And I feel like you're kind of saying the same thing there. It's been a little while since I've listened to that episode.
Yeah.
But the same concept kind of goes. It's like everybody gets around and kind of expects somebody else to lead the charge. And it's always that person that just gets over it and decides like, okay, I'm going to be the guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Making shit happen.
Exactly. So go home and understand that everybody else is not going to be on the same page. Like people right now are listening to this. They're going to be so fired up. Like, yeah, I'm going to go have Thanksgiving dinner. We're going to be great. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to influence them. And they show up and it's going to be a bunch of six grown adults that don't want to listen to you. Like, and they want to do their own thing. That's a challenge, man. So you just be a little bit persuasive, just trying to get one outcome with the team. And by the way, another thing to do too is you can do what's called socializing, not literally socializing, but like it's a military term that we would use to like get everybody used to the mission ahead. Okay, you would start communicating the idea of this mission coming up, like we're gonna go raid a target, and it was a high risk mission. We would start socializing the idea among everybody on the ground force, so that when the boss heard about the mission, he was used to it. He was desensitized. So a thing that you can do as a leader leading up or leading down, doesn't matter, is get everybody familiar with the plan before you actually implement it. Like, don't just show up on Thanksgiving Day and be like, "What's up, bitches? Let's play Monopoly." And everybody's like, "What? Like, I'm drinking beer and playing football. I'm not playing," like, whatever it is, right? Yeah. So, I would just say that is start, you know, leaning in a little bit. By the time somebody listens to this, hopefully it's right before Thanksgiving, they can kind of get the ideas going and set the groundwork for a successful Thanksgiving. By the way, this happened with me recently because I'm going to go visit some friends and, I'm quarantining. I'm being safe. I'm going to go see some friends. I'm going to see my wife's mother. Okay. We're being safe. We're going to, like, you know, I'm not interacting with a whole lot of people. I'm not going to the gym unless last week. I'm doing my own thing outside, so on and so forth. And one of my groups of friends are nervous about, they were nervous about me coming over because they kind of categorized me as a master bullshit. This is a conspiracy. COVID's a conspiracy guy.
Yeah.
And so I got on the phone with them and we're just like laying the groundwork for our visit. And he was like, my buddy was like, "Hey man, so you're gonna come down here?" He's like, "You know, do you guys want to go out?" And I was like, "Well, yeah, we should go get some food or something, but let's be safe. Like, I don't want to go anywhere it's like super populated because we do got to go see my wife's mom." And he was like, this relief came over him. He was like, "Oh my gosh, thank you." And I was like, "What?" And he's like, "Well, I just thought you were gonna want to go out and like party and like be around a bunch of people." And so we had this conversation about what success looked like with me over his place during this time of COVID. And I said, "Dude, listen, I don't think COVID's like a made up thing. I just think that my personal beliefs are that we're going to the extreme with what we're doing for something that's really, you have a high success of surviving if it does hit you. It's kind of extreme. My take is be safe, be smart, be responsible, but also, you know, let's not let this control my lifestyle for the foreseeable future," right? Like, be so. Anyways, what I'm saying is I socialized the idea of what Thanksgiving was going to look like and what this trip was going to look like with him before I got there. That way I showed up and it wasn't like completely caught off guard before I got to the actual thing, right?
Absolutely. I like all of it. Another thing I just kind of want to, I just want to punch this in there. I don't want anybody to think that we're just making this assumption that everybody's family sucks and is going to be really tense during the holidays. Some of you are probably just going to have a fine time through Thanksgiving and Christmas, and maybe there won't be all this tension, but
everybody, I could be wrong. 99% of the people have somebody in their family. One person that's going to be like, wants to bring up politics, wants to bring up COVID and argue about it and make sure that they're right and everybody else is wrong. And so we're focused on this episode. Let's cast a vision and see what success looks like. The first thing for the holidays, like we just covered, is presents. Okay. Yeah. You need to be in the appropriate place. Maybe that's in person. Maybe it's not in person. Maybe it's virtual. Maybe that's how, you know, you as a listener, you want to interact with your family. Okay, maybe you get on a Zoom or something like that. And the next little key here to success is, like, once you get figured out where you're going to place yourself, is you need to, as a collective team, not as a collective team, but you need to influence the team to remember what this like season is about, which is gratitude. You know, that's really what Thanksgiving is about. And I mean, looking back at our history, you know, Thanksgiving is actually kind of a jacked up time. So we won't really go there, but what we can do is use Thanksgiving to remind everybody that we have a lot to be thankful for, regardless of how crazy and wild this last year was. So, yeah. You know, if we want a successful holiday season, we got to be present and we got to get the team to remember to be grateful, you know?
Yeah, for sure. You hear that like every year or two, people talking about like, "Oh, I'm thankful for my health. I'm thankful for my family," this, that, and the other. And I think everybody's naturally going to take that a little bit more to heart this time around. And I do think that if nothing else, COVID was a big kick in the rear for a lot of people to realize that they did have things to be grateful for that we totally, definitely took for granted every single day.
Yeah, perspective definitely helps out, right? Going through hard times can make you appreciate appreciate things a little bit more. And actually, this exact point that you're making reminds me of, you know, all the holidays I spent like overseas. You know, I spent going back, you know, Iraq, I turned 20 and 21 in Iraq. Okay. And then additionally, that same year, I spent two Thanksgivings in Iraq. I I had multiple deployments where I was overseas during the holidays, and then one of which I was in Afghanistan, you know, as a Ranger during Christmas, during New Year's, during all that shit. And one of my best holiday moments was being with that team overseas. I was very, very grateful, even though I was overseas away from family and stuff like that. I was grateful because we made the most out of it. You know, we were overseas. I remember it was snowing in Afghanistan and freezing out. Okay. And up near like Bagram Airfield and that space up there up in the mountains. And everybody's away from home. We're getting gift bags sent in to us from people that have donated them and whatnot. And by the way, guys, if you've ever done that, if you've ever donated and sent a care package to a veteran, thank you personally for me. I've gotten probably dozens of those in my career. And I really do appreciate it. I got so many socks. I actually donate some of this. I donate a lot of socks because it seems like every care package is like a new pair of socks. But you know, one of the things they'd send out during the holidays, people would send over in care packages is like, you know, hot chocolates and stuff like that. And so in Afghanistan, it's Christmas time. Everybody's away from home, kind of missing family, but we all get together, go over, we're wearing our camo uniforms, you know, we got no patches on, so you can't tell what unit we're in because we're in special operations, and we got our boots on, we got our weapons, and we decided to make the most out of the event. And we went, we found a place that had the installation had a movie theater that we could go to. So we got the movie theater, we went over there, and I remember I stuffed my pockets full of like all the chocolates that people had mailed in their care packages. They were like just bulging out, right? And so I'm walking over to this theater and I'm eating chocolates, and we're not going out on a target that night, out on a mission. So we're going to go chill out and watch a movie. And we watch Christmas Story, the movie Christmas Story, right? You seen that?
Oh, too many times.
Yeah. So we watched that one. And then we also watch, there's another one. Lethal Weapon. You watch
I haven't seen Lethal Weapon. No.
Okay, so Lethal Weapon is not about Christmas at all. All right,
doesn't sound like it.
But if you were to ask a Ranger, I guarantee he would tell you that Lethal Weapon is a Christmas movie. especially my guys. All right, so you know we go over and watch a movie, eat a bunch of chocolates, hang out, and get to know each other. And you know, it was during that time that I remember sitting in the theater with stuff from the chocolate that I was eating, watching the movie, just being really grateful that we were able to have that holiday the way we had it. And so for somebody that's out there, you know, you went through 2020, it's been a mess, but you're going to go with your family, you're going to hang out with your family, whether it's Thanksgiving or Christmas, and just, you know, be grateful, man, and remind the team what they should be grateful for too, and pull it out of them, you know, change their perspective a little bit. So that'll help out as well.
Yeah, that really, I don't know if a lot of people think about that aspect of being in the military. I know generally we have, you know, we do a pretty good job. People understand that being in the military comes with all sorts of different sacrifices. But when you said you spent your 20 and 21st birthdays in Iraq, that hit me a little bit differently, like right now as we're talking about it, because that's the kind of thing that I don't think people really think about. And I was like, damn, you know, because I'm at that age right now where I know people having 21st birthdays all the time, and they're like skipping school to go drink or do whatever it is that they want. And I always think about the fact, not in like a woe is me type of way, but like I went to work on my 21st birthday. I just worked an 8-hour shift, came home, drank a couple waters because I don't drink. And then I went to bed and went to work the next day. Yeah. You know, like my birthday was nothing special. And then you say that you spent your 21st birthday in Iraq. I'm like, oh, fuck.
most of my holidays, I would say the majority of them, whether birthdays or Christmas, Thanksgivings, those type of things, were most all of them were spent away from close mm-hmm. friends and family. Yeah. And I'm not saying that it's poor me. I'm just saying that, yeah, it was very, from 2005 on, like that was a common thing, you know? And I remember, I mean, there was times, dude, so I used to drink. I don't drink anymore. One of the best decisions I've ever made. Nobody told me that not drinking was so much fun. And I remember several times, in this one specific time, like I was so miserable and lonely, and I had been moving around so much. My wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, was in another state. I was in a place where I had never been before. I had just gotten there. I was back into college. I was living in a dorm room, and I'm a little bit older, and I'm living with this guy I'd never met. And I was in transition to get my own place, but I had to be in the dorm room. And I'm like, literally, I just got back from Iraq, and now I'm sharing a room with a guy that like has, you know, his scope of life is literally video games and pizza that he's eating every day. I can't relate to this guy. And so I remember being just lonely, man. And I didn't have the ability to move around and go travel and see people. I didn't have any friends. And so I got like a bottle of whiskey and pizza. And I sat in my room and I ate pizza and I drank whiskey. And I remember just feeling completely miserable, emotional, and being like, fuck, dude, this sucks, man. And not every Thanksgiving was like that. There was a lot of, that specific time was Thanksgiving. There was a lot of holidays that were good. And I remember units that I was in where the leaders put stuff together and they helped me remind me of things to be grateful for. Like the leaders that I mentioned with the Rangers going and watching the Christmas movie. Those guys put that thing together. We as a team put it together. And it was a really nice time. That's the leader's role. So remind everybody to do that. And yeah, just not lose sight of the opportunity here to be grateful for what we do have.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. And would you say that, well, I'm sure, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but now when you have Thanksgivings like today, when you're about to have this one, when you're visiting whoever you're visiting and stuff like that, like, does that just ultimately amplify? Does that come to the forefront of your mind every time that you have a holiday or a birthday or something? You're like, hey, I'm not in Iraq.
Oh, yeah, that part for sure. I'm like, every day I wake up, literally, and part of this is training myself to be this way, but another part of it is just really being appreciative of where I'm at. The thing that I'm grateful for every single morning is my bed. Like, I have slept in some fucked up places. I have slept in basic training. I slept on the top shelf inside of a closet. Okay. And I was like, I was skinny. I hadn't been eating. I was, you know, and I'm like up there hiding away from the drill sergeants in basic training because I'm so tired. I've slept there. I've slept in between concrete barriers on the ground in the middle of Iraq. I've slept, you know, in the middle underneath a Humvee in the middle of Iraq as well. Like, where just crazy shit. And so, you know, a lot of times when I wake every morning, I wake up, not a lot of times, every morning, I'm like, dude, I'm so happy to be in this bed. And I still wake up thinking I'm going to wake up and be overseas. I'm like, fuck. But yeah. Once I realize I'm not, it's like that sudden like rush of, oh my God, I'm so grateful. And that's a nice way to start the day, man. So it's that, it's the bed for me, and it's either cold or warm water. So I drink a glass of cold water every morning, and that has not always been a luxury in my life. Right. You know, for Iraq, for example, you had to get these cases of water. You know, you basically, they would, the installation that you were on or the FOB or whatever would drop pallets of water, and you'd have to go grab a pallet and go stock it in your room. And you had to drink it relatively quickly because if it sat there too long, the plastic from it sitting in the heat could have essentially melted, got into the water and make you sick. So there's all these time things that you had to deal with. But I'm kind of getting on a tangent there. But the bottom line is that, yeah, being in the States and being in the holidays now, I'm always reminded of the different times that I've been overseas. And I am very, very grateful. And I think that everybody can either relate to my story and their own personal lives, or at least it puts everything into perspective and it really makes them feel grateful, right?
Yeah, I was just going to say that kind of is like a practical tip, is that I know that not everybody has this level of, I don't know, hurt in the past to compare this to, but odds are that you can find someone, or you can use Jeremiah's story, or surround yourself with at least someone that has a reason to be grateful. This happened to me last Thanksgiving, actually. We had just this family friend that we kind of know, basically. He was a really good cook. We invited him to last year to come over and cook for us for Thanksgiving, and he had just gotten out of almost 2 decades in prison.
Yeah.
And wow. That was one of the first Thanksgiving, and like, he was so excited, you know, to be over cooking for us, having Thanksgiving, man, doing stuff like that. And yeah, so, and dude, especially for me, because I was like, that's my whole life. Like, he's been in prison my whole life, pretty much.
That literally warmed my heart when you said that, you know, because I completely can feel it. And I think it, and I, on my level, I look at other people just like that example that you gave. I look at, okay, now I'm not in Afghanistan, but guess what? There's still Rangers there. Okay. There's still guys that are still there. And but there's also guys that live that life every day of their life that are local to, you know, they're local Afghans. They're literally, their life is like that every single, you know, maybe not Thanksgiving specifically, but I'm saying that their life is tough all the time. And I'm constantly reminded of that, man. And so, you know, when the world does get crazy like it is right now, I'm like, bro, it's not that bad. Like, we're not in Afghanistan with bombs being dropped in our backyard. Like, that shit's crazy. Imagine being a kid and just being like, oh, there goes another bomb. Like, oh shit. For, you know, whatever, 20 years. So perspective, right? That's the power of perspective. Yeah. It's a leader's job to come in, remind everybody what to be grateful for. Okay. Put things into perspective. The other point I want to make is that going into the holiday season, if we want to win, we need to have an on and off switch. Okay. There's two types of people. Well, there's probably, hopefully there's three, but there's the guy that's going to have, he's going to be on fucking go and blow through all the holidays, and he's going to not take his eye off of work at all. All right. If you want to be that way, go ahead. That's fine. Whatever. That's your deal. But I would say there's probably the ability. This is what I'm going to personally try to do. And what I strive to do is I want to be able to turn myself off and then turn myself back on like a light switch. So when I say on, I mean, I'm on go mode. I'm doing business. I'm doing working outs. I'm dialed in. And then when Thanksgiving hits, I shut it off. I'm no cell phone, no business, whatever, how many hours I say it's going to be for. And what I'll probably do personally, which is what I do every year, is I sneak in a little bit of work away from the time that could be allocated towards my family. So I'll maybe wake up a little bit earlier, get a few things done, and then just hands off and be 100% present the whole day. So what I'm saying is that going into the holiday season, you got to have your switch on or have it off to be effective. You don't want to be one foot in, one foot out, right? Like at Thanksgiving dinner on your cell phone. That's not going to be effective. Yeah. It's not going to be good. So you want to find that balance right there. And I think if you do that through Thanksgiving and you do it for Christmas, you're good. And by the way, the other type of person is somebody that shuts it off. And to be honest, they probably already shut it off. They shut off their switch back in fucking August. And it's like, they're like waiting for 2021. It's like vacation mode. I'm going to eat whatever the fuck I want. So, you know, don't be that guy either. Turn the switch on, turn the switch off, and then just be very, very intentional about it, right? Moving forward. Any thoughts on that one?
Yeah. One thought on that one too, from a leadership standpoint, especially just in the context of business too, is that you've made that a point that you actually value this idea of having an on switch and an off switch. Last week-ish or something like that, you reached out to the rest of the team at Conquer Academy and specifically said like, hey, I don't want anyone working Thanksgiving Day. I don't want anyone, you know, like, I want you guys to have a switch too. So when it comes to having these types of practices, you know, you do a thing where you make sure that that's extended across your environment or whatever you want to call it, your operation. And it's not just for you. You're not saying like, hey, I'm Jeremiah. I need to switch it off for Thanksgiving Day. So somebody else needs to take care of it. Right. That's off, you mean off.
Yeah. And that's important for the leader to communicate to everyone, because people are going to, everybody's a little bit different. And so people are going to assume what you want them to do. Okay. You don't want people to assume. Okay. You want to set the tempo, set the culture as the leader, and let them know at a minimum what you're expecting. That way they don't have to assume. Because what's going to happen is somebody's going to be working their ass off and Thanksgiving's going to hit. And if I don't say anything, then Thanksgiving hits and they're like, well, I feel kind of guilty for not being at least at my computer for a little bit. So you got to get rid of that shit. You got to get rid of it, and you do it by communicating everybody. Like, here's the kind of the expectation. You guys can do, you know, stuff outside of that if you want to, but at a minimum, you know, chill, pump the brakes for a little bit, right? Set the tempo, set the pace. All right, moving down to my last point here, which I'm not going to sit and act like I'm an expert at this concept at this point, but I did find it very, very fascinating when I was doing some research earlier this week. And I thought that it made for a really good point moving into the end of the year, because I was dissecting what do we need to do to be successful throughout the holidays. And the last little key point is that we should adopt the way of the samurai. Okay, and specifically Bushido is what it's called. All right. And this might be a new term for a lot of people. It was new to me, and I'm starting to study it a little bit more and more, and I'm finding that it's in line with a lot of the ways that I see the world, my worldview and my beliefs and stuff. And so Bushido is a code of conduct, okay? It's a, you know, a Japanese one, and it stems from samurais. But essentially what it means, it's like a way, it's the way of the warrior, okay? It's a philosophy is what Bushido is. And I have down kind of the key points, the tenets of it. Let me read here real quick. So, So samurais drew inspiration from Confucianism, which is a relatively conservative philosophy and system of beliefs that places a great deal of importance on loyalty and duty. Okay. So what Bushido consists of, like the core principles, are rectitude or justice. Number one's justice. Courage, you know, being courageous, mercy or benevolence, however you want to phrase it, politeness. That's a really good tenet for moving into the holidays, right? Honesty and sincerity, being honest with people, being sincere, maybe showing some compassion, some grace. Then there's honor, you know, being respectful of the people around us could fall into honor as well. Loyalty. And character and self-control. And I think those tenets, if we abide by those, justice, courage, mercy, politeness, sincerity, honor, loyalty, and self-control, if we have those tenets moving throughout the rest of the year, then we're probably going to close it out pretty good in terms of the holidays, right? We're going to avoid fights as a family. We're going to have a good time. We're going to be polite. I thought it was a really good model to try to embody. You know, what are your thoughts on Bushido?
It's a good, I Googled it because it probably is a new term for a lot of people. It was a new term for me and Google didn't give me much, but, to me, it just comes down to having values kind of is ultimately what it sounds like. And it's just the idea of having a philosophy and anchoring yourself into something, right? Always having something to look back to so you can be like, I don't want to say checking it off, but making sure that you're actually behaving in line with how you want to be behaving.
Yeah. Yeah. That's important. Actually, the last coaching call I did with the winner's table, the last couple, we've been talking a lot about core values and how to establish them as an individual. And these are values that you're going to live by. And so whether or not you adopt Bushido or you create your own values, you should have some and touch base on those as you go throughout the remainder of this year and just hone in on a couple of them that are most important to you. And I think with that, you'll have a level of awareness and intention moving forward, you know? I'm glad that we're on the same page there. And it looks like we both have some more studying to do about Bushido. Cool. Well, that's it for today for me. You got anything that you want to close up with? Anything you want to say that you had an aside there?
I don't think I do have an aside there.
Okay, cool. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I know you did. And, you know, if you laughed a little bit, if you felt inspired, if it hit you emotionally, or if maybe it's been a little while and you just haven't shared an episode, stomping my foot, man. It's time to share it. Okay, so share today's episode with a friend. I think it will help out. I know it will help out your circle. It'll help them out. Prepare for the holidays. It doesn't matter if it's going to be Thanksgiving or Christmas, but it's a great one to come back to as we continue to close out this year. It's a great one to share. Okay, now you have a vision. Okay, we talked about this at the beginning. You have a vision for the remaining weeks of 2020. You have a vision for the holidays. You know what it should look like to win. And you can always add to this stuff, right? We're just trying to help give you some perspective. And honestly, you know, selfishly, this helps me too. It helps me get refocused for the remainder of the year. So I like it as well. But yeah, that's it for today, guys. I just wanted to highlight that vision because like John Maxwell said at the beginning, like the quote that I used at the beginning here, a leader is one who knows the way, he goes the way, okay? He follows his own advice, okay? And he shows the way. Pretty powerful stuff there. Somebody who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. And I think we did that in today's episode. So I ask you to do the same. All right, ladies and gentlemen, until next time, be the leader. I need some motivation. Every day I try a little harder, but my dedication. Keep my head way above the water. Proud of myself when I yell at the wall. Begging to run, but I needed to crawl. I see the finish line up ahead, trying to get traction from all of this tread. I am a king, I am a queen, I am more than the people can see. I am strong when I'm needing to be. Vulnerability's nothing to me. You can try, but I'm unshakable. My successes is never debatable. I'm chameleon, I'm so interchangeable. Here's to you and all that you are capable. You better go hard, better get it.